Der Hashem, February 22nd, Chelek Beis, Perek Shlishi.
Did you watch Harry Potter?
No.
Have you read the book?
No. But I'm forgetting them. I'm forgetting a lot of them. It's very, 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 very awkward when you forget them.
Guardian with yourself.
Well, the book, it's not the doesn't tell you this. In the book, it doesn't tell you how to pronounce it.
No, it doesn't.
Sorry.
Actually,
they didn't
you really messed up.
On the
you
have
words.
To look in the dictionary how it's spelled.
Can I quite damage? Even if I do, can I miss a lot of them? Tali b'mashen nivra ba'ilam yani tev and yani ra. God creates good things, evil things. Ruhusam adam b'neim, and the person put right smack dab in the middle of the good things and the evil things. Livcha le'zatayv, and we're expected to pick from the good things. This is the ground which we've already grown over. Ulam but. Pratin yani atayv abmeim. It's not so simple. There's a lot of small components to make this up. There's a breakdown. The breakdown is like complicated. Between Prata and Yeni Ara. Evil, it's not just like black and white, and I mean pun intended. It's not just black and white. There's so many different facets. So many different things it's broken down to so many different parts. And it's not always clear. For example, okay, like come here to Taiva. Black and white is don't eat pig. That's black. Put on tefillin. That's white. That's black and white. Don't do this, do that. That's black and white. But what about midas? There's midas that belong on the side of Taiva, and there's midas that belong on the side of Ra. Kaiva. There's nothing good about Gaiva. Gaiva's bad. Haughtiness, that's evil. That's the source of all evil. Gaiva is the source of all evil. All evil starts from Gaiva. Humility, that's good. Basically, compassion, that's good. Cruelty is bad. Being satisfied with what you have.
Good.
Always wanting more.
You could
abuse a good midah, and you can take a bad midah and use it for a good purpose. But right now we're talking about the basic midah. You know, to be cruel to cruel people. It's not wrong. You're supposed to be cruel to cruel people. But that's only, yes. That's only, yeah, you have a murderer, you kill him. It is being cruel.
Being nice.
You're killing him.
Killing him, yeah, because you killed somebody else.
Well, no, that's not the reason why. That's not the reason why. You're supposed to be cruel to cruel people. We're talking about the essential media. Cruelty is bad. There's a good application for bad things. And it takes wisdom which is beyond human wisdom in order to figure this out. Shereim l'matzav l'ipal av shirusim b'chayka anushiyas v'tach z'ikari shizachanav l'kaimai. That we should be inserted in between all this. That we live in a world of cause and effect. And there's a ripple effect for everything that's done. And that takes chachma, which is beyond human chachma, in order to do that. Just take a look at economics. Nobody has, nobody's figured that out yet. You have a country that they're the gross product is in the trillions, the hundreds of trillions, it's like a big behemoth.
what's a bad application of a good meter?
Having compassion on wicked people. You have the American economy that goes running out of control, and everyone has their theories how to fix it. The President of the United States has pushed through Congress a $1 trillion aid package, economic stimulus package. You know what a trillion is? When my Rebbe of Moshe Shapiro was telling us, a trillion is if a Mauritian would start counting from the time he was born and keep counting until today, he'd still be counting. That's what a trillion is a million times a million.
It's a trillion.
No, this is the economic stimulus package. That's how much he voted through. They don't have $1 trillion. They have a debt which is accumulated over the past few terms. They don't have it. Where are they getting this from? And he pushed it through. He twisted arms. Anyone that was against him runs the risk of being in the way of progress. No one wants to be blamed for the economic woes. So they voted it through, even though a lot of it didn't make sense. And the result was that the Dow Jones fell lower than it's been in the past 4 years. 4 year low. So, you know, you figure you take $1 trillion, you inject it into the economy. So it's going to increase the confidence of people and the people who invest money, and it'll cause investments to rise. And they had the opposite effect. So somebody messed up. Because there's so many factors that govern economics that there's no human being who can ever master all of them. It's cause and effect. But that doesn't mean we understand the relationship between the cause. Everything is cause and effect. We don't comprehend. We can't master the relationship between cause and effect. You do this, this is going to happen. All we know is something's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. And he's in a big mess. And when he was running for president, he had a bunch of grand ideas how he was going to fix things up. And how his way is the only way that's going to fix things up. And his opponent's way was going to bring us to financial ruin. And it's not coming to, you know, it's not coming out the way he predicted. But there's still, you know, there's still hope. We hope so, because there's a lot of people who rely on this. But it's just an example that something that has so many prepping. You have cause and effect. You kick a ball, it's going to roll. That's simple. It's a simple process. But not everything is so simple. And things are complex. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is the only one that has a mastery over it. So Shmuel knows exactly what the reaction will be from any given stimulus. The person has the capability of moving the world. Man is created within a presence. He's in the presence of these things. So then man has to be implanted within a constant shifting of themes. Shekulam yinisayin lehem. He has to be in a constant state of nisayin, of trial and tribulation. And that we went over that ground. That is integral for man to earn his olam haba and to appreciate what he earns. Man has to earn it. That means he has to constantly be tested. It's never a vacation. You know, you're teenagers. Teenagers have it hard. In fact, teenagers have it impossibly hard. And you're probably telling yourself, at any given moment during the day, when is this ever going to be over? I want to be good. It's impossible. It's too strong. And the answer is it's never over. Get used to it. Never over. Never. Ever. Get used to it. Makam adam is chaza kenegdam mitvas b'tayves. So a person needs the matzavim, he needs the themes, and the place where the themes take place. Yeah, for example, let's say someone bopped you over the head and you wake up, and you're inside a, it looks like you're in an old western town, and you all of a sudden the fog starts lifting, and you say, how'd I get here? And then almost there's a desperado at the end of the street starts shooting at you. You don't stop to think. You see that, you have a six shooter. You got two of them. You pull it out. You start shooting them. You shoot him. The bullets are hitting the ground. The people shooting for the, you have no idea what's going on. All of a sudden you hit him. He goes down. And you want to take a breath. And try and think this out, how this happened. All of a sudden things blur. And you're in a spaceship. Turn into a galaxy. And there's a screen in front of you, and you see you're surrounded, and there's a laser beam shooting at you, and just out of instinct, you push your button, and you see a shield pops up, and you're maneuvering, and then they're shooting at you, and you're shooting at them, and then, you know, you didn't even know where you get the skill from, and you're turning, and you're shifting, and you're dodging, and you're zapping, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's one button you didn't even notice, you hit that, and they all get shot with lightning, and you get, and then it shifts. And you're in the desert, and then there's this monster that crawls out of the sand, and you've got nothing. You've got this little slingshot there. And you say, okay, here goes. And you sling it, it hits him, and it discombobulates. You know, this is, I mean, I'm dramatizing it, but this is real life. Real life. Every single time we conquer something, we master something, we get faced with something else. And the direction, you know, it's a total surprise. Totally different direction. You get assaulted. And somehow or another, you have the tools to deal with it. And you didn't know you had them. Stop pushing. And the older you get and the more advanced you get, the more complicated things get. When you're young, things are fairly simple. What are the challenges of people that are young? I'm saying, you know, to hold themselves back from not beating their father when he hits them, right? That's why. That's simple. It's a simple thing. Respect for your parents. Not to have children before you're married. These are basic struggles that people have. Stay away from all those kinds of situations. And,
you laugh at that, but
no, it is a struggle.
Yeah.
But it's simple. It's black and white. Guy knows what he's going to do wrong, and he knows what he has to do right, and it's like, and it's a major thing, and it's something that people generally know why they shouldn't, and they mess up their lives. This is, Shabbos, Shmir Shabbos, that's a big thing. Putting on tefillin every day, big thing. Can you keep it out of aim? These are the challenges that face young people. And then you go further, you grow up. Of course I'm going to keep Shabbos. No Shiloh. And you get past all those major blocks. And then all of a sudden, you know, you think you made it. And it shifts on you. And you, instead of having like two or three things which you were fighting with yourself, it was so clear. Now all of a sudden you've got a million things. And you're trying to bet you get yelled at everything you do wrong.
Seriously, Rabbi.
You'll see.
Can't take it anymore.
Yeah, a year ago you might have been someone that Davin, I don't know. Okay, but yeah, you get yelled at for missing a chakras.
No,
so
don't.
It's not. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you miss your Chanel.
I'm 42% of the time.
Oh, I haven't checked my Chanel.
Things get much more complicated. Now it's not a question of doing the big, you know, of doing the big things and not staying away from big things. Now it's already how you do them. It's a given that you do them. It's a given that you stay away from doing the wrong things. But now you start getting judged and graded. And the playing field never ends. And that's just like 1 year at a time. Next year you wait till you see what's going to be with you next year.
No.
Well, he's talking about going to school, working, and learning at the same time.
Oh, you laugh at that?
No, I'm saying that that's, you've never had that before in your life. What? Huh? You might have gone to school, you might have worked, but when did you ever learn? At the same time. What can learning going to school is only, it's impossible, and the learning gets dropped first. Because you have to go to school because it's your parnasa, it's your future. And you have to work because you have to pay for your school and learning. The Kavusa stops calling you after a while because he gives up on you. But you'll see.
Why can't I be so optimistic?
You'll see.
It's optimistic about me.
And I always thought that the best matzav is, if someone has to go to school, is he should be a shamer for dead people on Shabbos. Get paid right. A shamer, in the funeral parlor, they pay you to say, tell them, yeah, Shabbos. It pays really good. You're not working during the week. But they says we're home, you have the Shabbos jobs.
Are you being serious?
I'm being very serious, because that, working during the week, when what time of the day are you going to work, you know?
So, well, give up your Shabbos.
I know, so there's no one says be a Balkari, that also works.
Yeah, that doesn't take any time to prepare.
It does.
You get $10 a week.
No, you don't. No. You go, it depends where you go. It's not an easy job to get, because I know people that are really hooked up. They were like a Balkari, and Shabbos, they went to this modern show, they got paid good money, they did things for the youth directors, and then during the week they didn't have to work. But yeah, not everyone can get these things.
I could get jobs on Shabbos, but I feel like giving up my Shabbos is even worse. I feel like Shabbos is a day that you have off and you shouldn't have to work, then it'll help
right,
you.
Right, and
what
do you do? What do you do when you have the day off on Shabbos?
You could sit.
You sleep, right?
And you could sleep and you could learn a little.
A little bit.
If you're home, I always learn my
right.
Father. Every
right.
Hour.
That's cool. It's very rough.
Relax.
It's a battleground.
For sure.
It's a battleground.
Kidding? Sick?
It's a battleground.
How about there's so many things happening Shabbos day you don't even know.
I wasn't talking about Pesach.
No, it's a retreat.
Yeah. Maryland.
Lots happening.
Jogging people running everywhere. There's a university of Pesach, you know?
So it gives a muscle. Who created rich people and poor people? Do you think the rich people create themselves?
No.
Maybe rich people think they create themselves. Hashem creates rich people and poor people. He did it. Hashem gives someone riches, Hashem makes someone poor. The presence of rich people and poor people enables us to use our midah of Rachmanis and Achzarias. A person could give money to the poor guy or he could hold back. The rich guy could give money to the poor guy, or he could hold back money from the poor guy. If he gives money to the poor guy, he's using the meat of Rachmanis. If he holds back, he's using the meat of cruelty of Sarius. So there have to be rich people and poor people in the world. Why? Because these meters have to be used.
Wait, I'll say that again?
There has to be rich people and poor people in the world in order that people should have the Nisayan which meter to use. It's backwards. We have things backwards. We say, oh, there's rich people and poor people in the world, so now I have a Nisayan whether I should be compassionate or cruel. It's the other way around. Hashem created a midah called compassion. Hashem created a midah called cruelty. And in order that those midahs should not go to waste, they have to be utilized. So therefore, Hashem created rich people and poor people.
Okay, so
it's a big Kiddush, but
he created the rich, technically. He created the rich to have the option of being compassionate or
that's
being
right.
cruel.
And the poor people are the object.
Why don't the poor people?
You don't have choices whether you're rich and poor. The Malach in Shemayim decrees whether a person is going to be rich or poor. The only choice you have is your Shemayim. You don't have that choice. Shem doesn't give us a choice whether you should be rich or poor.
So what decision are the poor people making?
What?
What decisions are the poor people making?
They have different miscarriages. They also have midas. You don't think poor people have midas?
Nah.
Right, they don't have this big miscarriage of giving money or not giving money because they don't have much money to give. Everyone has their midas. What's a poor person's miscarriage? If he'll be satisfied with what Hashem gives him, or he'll want more.
And a rich person is to
be compassionate or cruel, right? To deal with compassion. And a rich person, that's not his Messiah. He should be satisfied with what he has, because he has a lot. There are people that go out of their way to want things that they don't really need. The Derech Hashem is talking about normal, well-balanced people. A well-balanced rich person is satisfied because he has more than what he needs. And a poor person has a problem with that because he doesn't have enough. He doesn't have enough. You know my... My grandfather was a very special person. I don't know which one of the children or grandchildren will like him. My grandfather was a very special person. He was someone that didn't have. It was a combination of two things. He was raising a family at the time of the Great Depression. He came to America right before World War I. So he was there during the Great Depression, and he was a Shomer Shabbos. And the two of those, you know, the two of those didn't make a good combination, because he didn't have a job, and he couldn't have a job. My mother said he tried to get a job, he couldn't get a job. So he started a laundry business. What's a laundry business? You knock on people's doors, and you offer to do their laundry. Pick it up, drop it off, and then you don't have to work on Shabbos. Well, it worked good. He had customers. He picked up the laundry. He dropped it off. And they had no money to pay him. So he was working doing laundry, and he wasn't getting any money for it. And they didn't have money to pay their rent. And my mother told me that she remembers when the landlord would come knocking on the door, being put in a closet. My mother would hide the kids in the closet. They shouldn't make any noise, because the landlord would want the money, and they didn't have any money to give the landlord, so they'd make them believe that no one was home. And this is really, really, my grandfather didn't make Kiddush on wine, because he had no money for it. So he made Kiddush on challah. This is real poverty. I mean, there's more and more and more. But my grandfather was the happiest man on earth. My mother said that when she wanted a, she'd ask for a dress. When she told over the story, we didn't understand what the point of the story. She said she wanted a new dress, and she was bugging her father for a new dress. So she said, "Okay, you want a new dress? We have to order a new dress." He goes over to the phone in the hall, and he rings up. The old phones, you have to turn the crank, and he rings up. The dress maker, and he orders a dress. He comes back in the living room, and he told my mother, "Okay, you need a dress, I ordered a dress." So he asked my mother, "What's so funny about the story?" So we didn't have a phone. We didn't have a phone. He went into the hallway. He said, "Making a phone call." I have a phone. He's ordering a dress for her on the phone. And the funny thing is, my mother told over the story. Every time she told over the story, she was laughing. That meant he was successful. Because somebody might tell over the story with a bitterness. He's fooling me. He's saying, "I need it." He's playing games with me. And she told over the story. She thought it was funny. He didn't have where to get it from. But he was a happy person. And you're happy even though you have nothing. No, she told them that one day they got an electric bill. They had electric lights. They had a couple bulbs in the house, not a lot. And the bill was high. So he had it checked out. And he saw that there was someone in the basement. It wasn't like an official apartment, but there was someone living in the basement that wired electricity from their apartment to a socket in the basement and stuck a light bulb on. And they get electricity and they don't have to pay for it. I think it could have been the superintendent. It was someone that he couldn't deal with. So he had the power turned off in their house. Because he wasn't going to pay for their electricity. He had no money to pay. For one light bulb, we have no idea what it's like. For one light bulb, he had the power turned off in his apartment because he could not pay the bill for someone that was drawing power for one light bulb in the basement. But he was happy. It was funny. That's the Messiah. That's not a sign of a rich person. Rich person has plenty of money. But she said he once got took revenge against his people that weren't paying him. Yeah, he took revenge against them. Next time he came around, he gave him chocolates. He felt like a chocolate bar and he gave it out to the family. Because it wasn't real chocolate, it was chocolate flavored something. Yeah, he got there. But he was an immigrant, he didn't speak English so well. And he needed, you know, he started getting involved in politics, canvassing votes. He's a cool person. Yeah, I'm a happy person. I always laugh at his mind. This is the sign of a poor person. I mean, there's so many people that the kids rejected the parents' way of life because they saw that the parents weren't happy. They weren't working on Shabbos. And they had no money, and the parents were miserable. So the kid said, when I grow up, I'm not going to work, I'm not going to be like that. I don't want to be miserable. I have to be a masochist to do that. And that, you know, that entire generation of Klal Yisrael got lost because of that, because they didn't have. And they couldn't find the strengths. You know, you can't judge them. You go judge somebody that's starving, that the landlord threw the stuff out on the street. And they're sleeping on a park bench with three kids and a baby, and they can't get a job. You know, you can't judge them. Why would a kid want to keep Shabbos after he sees his parents do that and they're miserable? I don't know how my grandparents made it. I don't know how they made it. My mother said that there was organizations. Not Jewish ones. The depression, a lot of people were in this mountain, not just the Jewish families. They just give out meat. And they give out canned food. My grandfather would take the meat, he would trade it.
Trade for what?
It's not kosher meat. He would trade it with people for other canned food. You know, he'd give Goyim the meat. He'd get a lot of canned foods from it. And that's it. He brought home the food. They got that totally. That's the problem. But he was happy. They're happy. That's the sign of a poor person. Humility and haughtiness. Haughtiness is not a sign for a poor person. Someone has power. Somebody owns power. Yeah, he could make things happen across the globe. So when he sells out his shares, there's a panic, you know? It's power. The Warren Buffett. When he sneezes, the stock market jumps. That's, you know, he's got power. He could hire, he could fire, he could destroy people's lives. He could build. You could donate a leper hospital in Afghanistan. Power. And then when you donate that hospital, people give you a lot of cover. Thinking very highly of himself. It's a bad meter. I'll tell you, Meister. Let me tell you a Meisa. I heard this Meisa from one of my Rebbeim. His name was Rav Moshe Aaron Stern. Zichron Lebracha. Rav Moshe Aaron Stern was the Mashkiach of Kamenetz Yeshiva. He was an American, and he was a Mashkiach of Kamenetz Yeshiva here in Yerushalayim. And he was a Talmud of Rav Eliyahu Lapiyan. Zichron Lebracha. Eliyahu Lapiyan, towards the end of his life, was the Mashkiach of Yeshiva in Kfar Hasidim, which is one of the Pasha Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. He was one of the Dalim from Dalim Bali and Musar. And he had a group that he used to have Vatim Mechaburus with private things and Rebellion Lapra. And these people are the Gdelda Musa of the previous generation and even the present generation. So they were working, there was a group of Bachim, this is something which I don't know how acquainted you are with this. It's called working on yourself. This is something which has become more rare as we go along. Working on yourself. What with Bayim working on you and giving you shmuzin and shiurim and getting after you? Guys on their own get it together to make themselves better. This is something which is avodas amidas, avodas amusar. You get together at certain times and you pick something. You pick a certain midah and you discuss among your friends what you could do to make yourself better. You have one guy give a discussion on it, and then the other one takes turns. This is something which I don't know how much exposure you've had to this. But Rav Moshe Einstein had this with Rebellion Lapian. Avodas Amidas. And a group of Bachar approached Rebellion Lapian that they're having gaiva issues. And they want to know what to do about it. And they were asking them. They admit they have problems, they have ego. They want to know what to do about it. And could he help them? They went to the Rebbe as a group to ask him to deal with gaiva. And my Rebbe, Rabbi Moshe Einstein, told me what Rebellion Lapian told them. He said, he told them a Gemara. Gimel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sainim. There's three that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates. There are three that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates. Number one, Asher Mechachish, a rich guy that lies. Hashem hates him. Okay. Number two, Ani Misyaher, a poor guy that's a Baal Gaiva. Hashem hates him. Number three, Zaken Menayiv, an old man that's immoral.
Those are all three people who
Hashem hates three.
People.
Hashem hates three people.
So an old Baal Gaiva, a poor Baal Gaiva,
no. Asher Mechachish.
Yeah, you were the middle.
An old immoral person.
Old immoral.
And a rich person that lies. So Beliel Lapian said, Medina, he asked them. He said, a poor person that lies, Hashem loves. And a young person that's immoral, Hashem loves. And what about a rich person that's a Baal Gaiva, Hashem loves? Like, what's wrong with this Gemara?
Did
they tell us this one? This could be. So Beliel Lapian told them.
Why? Rich liar.
And a poor liar?
A poor Baal Gaiva and an older man.
Sounds familiar?
No.
So Beliel Lapian told them that people are human, they make mistakes. And for a rich person, it's derech hateva, it's natural to be a Baal Gaiva. That's his nisayon. For a poor person, that's his teva is to lie. That's his nisayon. And a young person's teva is to be drawn towards immorality. That's his nisayon. Is it a rich person? He's filthy rich. He's got plenty of money. Why does he have to lie? He doesn't need the money. He has plenty of money without the lying. We're talking about he became rich before he started lying. He wasn't a poor person that lied to become rich. He's rich. Why does he have to lie? He has nothing to gain from lying. He's going out of his way to lie. That's hashfasa. That's destructive. It's deviant. It's deviant. You have a poor person. For him, lying is... it's very hard for a poor person not to lie. Everyone's always ripping him off. He's always getting dumped in the gutter. So he's got to pay back people the same way they're treating him. He's got to lie and this way get ahead. And it's coming to him. You know, they're ripping him off. I'll rip them off. He's got to lie. It's in the science. It's wrong. But for him to be a Baal Gaiva, what does he have? What does he have to be a Baal Gaiva? What does he own? Who is he? What has he accomplished? Baal Gaiva? He has a problem? Dealing with Gaiva? So you're Balgaiva, that means that there's something about him that's not healthy. He's going out of his way to be a Balgaiva. He has a misplaced sense of pride. Yeah, he's going against his own nature. And the same by immorality. Young people, it's very hard. It's not right for them to give in to the emotions. It's not right for them to give in to temptation. It's wicked. But it's an avera which is b'derech hateva. But an old guy, he's got one foot in the grave. When people get older, the taiva is not as strong. And he's stoking the fires. It's like he is going out of his way to feed his taiva and to bring it, you know, and bring it to a fiery blaze and until he can't control himself. So that's not a natural taiva that he's doing to himself. So Hashem hates them. So Belial Lapian said, everybody should get a notebook. Remember this part? Everyone should get a notebook. A blank notebook, but it doesn't have to have too many pages in it. What? You remember this?
Write two things.
You remember
it? You should write two things. You should have.
You should write everything you know. That's not what Rabbi La. You should write everything that you know. Every baka here. Write everything that you know.
We're up to Ba'amnon?
Start with Chumash Rashi. How many parshas do you know all the Rashis? With the Targum Onkelos. How many parshas do you know with every single Rashi? And the Sifzeh, what about with the Sifzeh Chachamim? It explains the Rashi. Here's all the questions on Rashis. And the Targum, just the basic. Bima Visedra. Ramban, Archaim, Kliyaka, Meshachachla. Write down how much you know. Maybe you know. Okay, you finish writing now. You're not by Mesechta yet. Mishnayis. How many Mishnayis do you know? How many Prakim? How many Mesechtas? How many did you do? No, do you really, really know? With the commentary to Rabbi Vajim Batanura. With the Tosis Yomtev. Mishnah Rishonah, Mishnah Achronah, Yachin, Vayez, Melech HaShleimah. Write down how many you know with all the Masechtos. How many? Finish Bavli, finish Rishami, Safra, Sifri, Mechilta, Tesechta, Medrash Rabbah. Basics. Medrash Derech Eretz Zuta, Masechtos Kala. How many Dafim do you know in the Masechta? With Rashi, with Tosis. Huh? He said, you take a look at your notebook when you finish. You see that you're a poor person. He said, if you'd be a rich person, he told them this, if you'd be a rich person, I would have ways of guiding you and teaching you how to deal with your gaiva. But someone that, you know, that has so few pages filled of what he knows, does not need aces. How to deal with gaiva. You're an oni. An oni that's about gaiva is going to Connecticut. The Moshe Chaim Litzato is telling us. Rabbi Eliyahu Lapian. The Moshe Chaim Litzato is telling us that Kashbaka created Midas.
Advice for temptation and for lying?
No, not that I know. Rabbi Moshe Chaim Litzato is telling us that Kashbaka created a Mida of compassion. Hashem created a Mida of cruelty. Hashem created a Mida of feeling a sense of satisfaction. Hashem created a Mida of having a hole, a void, a chasm, a hunger inside you. These are all Midas. And then Hashem created Aliyah Mashirim. Why? To see what the usher is going to do when he's faced with a situation. He has to choose between compassion and cruelty, and to see what the ani is going to do when he's faced between being sameach mechelkei and wanting to fill his lack, to fill his void. The word is the other way around. Ani and Hashem were created because of the midas. Not the other way around. It's Nicholas. It's not the maid.
I'm going to go to the next one.